God has done for us and what He's continually doing for us, and to trust for the future of what He will do then as well. And so another thing I always do when I have made sure that I'm right with God is I just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, and He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me, and may we eat and be thankful. Thank you, Jesus. The little piece of bread that we have just consumed, Lord, representing your body, hung on the cross for us, the suffering that you went through, Lord. Or a lot of times we don't like to think about it, but Lord, you did it. And in moments like this, Lord, may we be reminded of the suffering that you went through. And but Lord, not only that, Lord, just the fact that you love us so much, you care for us, Lord, that you would do anything for us, even to lay down your life. And so, Lord, we just thank you. You are so, so good to us, Lord. We are grateful. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And may we drink together and be thankful. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of the Lamb that was shed for the remission of sins. Jesus, we love you. We are grateful for your love for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're continuing on Oaknaz Mad. Remember what mad means? Anybody? Yeah. Making a difference? Yeah. And this is part five. So we're going to talk about some ways real quickly. So we got just a little bit of time, but I just want to talk about some ways that we can really truly make a difference. So we talked about reconciling with God just a minute ago as we shared together in communion. 1 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 talks about this, and it adds a little bit more. So we're going to look at both parts. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we're reconciled for a purpose. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I scared some people. I don't know. But what difference does it make sometimes? You know, I feel that way sometimes when we're... I'll move off of that, sorry. Okay. Sometimes it just feels like, are we really, truly making a difference for God? Well, I believe that we are. But sometimes it may not seem like it, and it may not feel like it. And so I want to talk about some specific things that God is asking us to do, and things that we can do in order to be ambassadors for Christ, because that's what we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador represents, for the United States, represents our country and other foreign countries to keep relationships open so that we can have peace in those nations. So we have ambassadors all over the world. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to be those ambassadors for Christ, so that we would take the word of Christ, the message of Christ, the love of Christ, wherever we go. So we need to find what our country is. Ambassadors are assigned to different countries. So what's our country that we are supposed to be ambassadors in? Well, you think, wow, what's in the United States? Certainly, we whittle it down, Oregon and then Oak Ridge. But you know what? We are supposed to be ambassadors wherever we go. So I might just be an ambassador down at the Dollar General. Really? I might be an ambassador when I'm at the school playing in the pep band now. Yes, Kathy and I are playing in the pep band. Woo! It's lots of fun. Gives us a chance to play. And so we're getting to know the kids next to us. I'm meeting this one kid. He it looks like a baritone. I say, hey, how long have you played the baritone? He goes, it's a euphonium. And then I go, okay, I knew that, but I didn't know if he knew that. Then he went to explain to me how the euphonium works and all of that. And I said, well, what's your name? He says, my name is Lehi. I go, oh, after the college, Lehi, I can remember that. That's an unusual name. And then Kathy's next to Jeremy, who plays the saxophone. And we get to know Nelson a little bit better. You see, one of the reasons I'm there, I love playing my trumpet, and it gives me an opportunity to do that, but I want to represent Jesus Christ wherever I'm at, and thank you, Jesus, because you give me a new opportunity with a new country right up there in the stands at the ball game to be able to play and to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And that's awesome. So I'm getting to know the kids and meet the kids and got to meet the principal. I got to meet other people. And someone says, hey, you're that guy playing in the band. I go, yeah, that's me. And so we're having a great time. Unfortunately, I guess the season's over, so we got to start up again doing something. But that's where Kathy and I, we're going to be ambassadors in the school if possible. And the Lord has opened up an opportunity, given us the favor that we need. All right. This is my old basketball crew from Lebanon. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we would play basketball at the Boys and Girls Club. Adults were invited to play. And it was an awesome time. I'm the guy that looks like I have swimming goggles on in the back. I'm the tall one. Those are just safety glasses because I've been poked in the eye so many times that I thought I better protect my eyes as best I can. The last time I had a scratched cornea and just, ooh, bad, bad, bad. So I look like, I don't know what I look like there. I look like something, but my eyes are good. They're protected. So this is a group of guys that I've really tried to be an ambassador to over the course of 4.5 years while I was in Lebanon. And they're all great guys. They really are. But I tell you what, when you first go, when I first went there, everyone's checking each other out. There's a lot of testosterone that's flowing when you're playing basketball games. And everyone's trying to up other people and show who's kind of the most manly and all that. And so you kind of go into that culture knowing that. And I'm also a very competitive person. And so I really like winning. And one of the reasons I like that is because if you win, you get to stay on the court and play more. So it's important to do that, but God would always remind me, your first priority here is not to win games. Your first priority is be an ambassador for me wherever you're at. So one of the guys, the guy with the ball, here's a closer picture, his name is Dennis. Dennis is from Russia. He used to live with his mom. His mom spoke no English at all. And I would hear them on the phone sometimes, and he's just prattling away in Russian. But his English is is getting better and better. And that guy loves to play basketball. And so when I first got there, we kind of mixed it up a few times. He was trying to show his prowess, and I would block his shots repeatedly because I'm quite a bit taller. And he would kind of get angry, and I had to say, you know what, I got to be mindful that I want to be a witness to Dennis. And I want to be an ambassador of Christ to him. And so every time he would do something, I would really praise him and encourage him. Hey, that's awesome what you're doing. Man, you're such a hustler out there, Dennis. And, man, I love playing with you. And I did, really. He hustles out there, and he's a team player. And as a matter of fact, he got to the point where he wanted to play on my team because I would make sure that he would get the ball too because other people would not pass him the ball. And he would get so frustrated. And I go, Dennis, you get on my team, and I'll get you the ball. And pretty soon, he said, you know what? I have a church league team, and I want you to be on it. And I go, oh, man, that'll be great. And so he started playing in the church league, and he called his team the Church of the Nazarene. Well, because I was on the team. So he said, we have to pick a name, and you're from the Nazarene Church. And it was my boss, the pastor, and me, and a bunch of other guys that didn't go to church at all. And we were the Church of the Nazarene. And sometimes we didn't represent the church very well, but that's another story. So here's Dennis. Now, he comes to me one time, he goes, and he was really bothered. I could tell. He's really upset. And I go, what's wrong? And he goes, I say, I have cancer. And I go, oh, no. Where's it at? And he goes, it's in my thyroid. and I need to go in to have surgery. I want you to be there to pray for me. Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there. And I went there. He had a bunch of people there, and he was talking with them and friends and his boss at work. And I went in, and man, he just lit up, and he was so glad that I was there. And I said, you know what? I've been here lots of times to do these types of things. I know that they may come in and get you any time, so let's just pray right now. And Dennis goes, yes, yes, yes. And so we all gathered hands there, and I didn't know the other people there. His girlfriend was there, but we just prayed. I said, Lord, just protect Dennis, Lord. I pray that the surgeons, their hands will be guided. I pray that you would remove any cancer that might be in there. And Lord, that you'd help him recover fully from this. Amen. Well, he went through the surgery, and he comes back. He was told not to play for quite a while, and I didn't connect with him, so he was back about a month later. And he said, you know what? The surgeon came out afterward, and he said, you know, it's interesting. We found no cancer. But they removed that part of the thyroid, and I go, wow. You know what, Dennis? That's a miracle. He goes, I know it's a miracle. You know, God had his hand upon you during that time, and he protected you. He said, I know. And Dennis got to the point where he believed in God, and he was trusting God. He was not able to come to church ever because he had to work on Sunday mornings. He worked at a pizza place, and so they started at 11. Matter of fact, the pastor ordered pizza one time, so he would actually come to church and deliver a pizza. But when I left, I told him, we're moving to Oak Ridge. And he goes, Mark, you can't move. You're making a big mistake. You cannot move. Why would you go? We had developed such a good relationship that we actually became friends. We didn't hang out a lot together, but you know what? It took time. It took years, really, to be able to get to that point. But I believe Dennis is going to keep growing in his walk with the Lord. I know Pastor Sheridan is still there to minister to him and to continue to help him in his growth in his relationship with God. And so that wouldn't have happened had I not had the opportunity to do what I like to do and get involved with something and with the purpose of being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. So, where's your country? Where is your country? All right, number two. You know what? I would encourage us to be the best neighbor that your neighbors have ever had. I heard this recently. This is our district superintendent, Stan Reeder, and his wife, Janet. And Stan gave a workshop for pastors here, it was back probably in November. And he was sharing about that. He said, you know what? I want to be the best neighbor that my neighbors have ever had. And so he talked about how he knows the neighbors, he knows the kids, he knows their birthdays. And he'll actually bring presents by to their house when they have a birthday, and he'll attend their birthday parties if he has time to be able to be there. To know the neighbors. Why does he do that? Well, he doesn't have a church himself. He roams all over the district in churches and doing his busy job. I'm sure he has a home church somewhere, but not able to frequent it very much because he's usually in other churches helping to install pastors or help them to find pastors. And right now there's 13 churches open on our Oregon Pacific district. So he's very, very busy. And fortunately, he has Bud Pugh to help out as well as assistant. But he was challenging us with that. So the other day, I know my neighbor Frank on this side and I believe it's Rick and Lisa on this side. We haven't done very much together and just connected just a little bit. But I came outside one time and I heard someone shoot. And I have a basket hoop right in front of the house. And it's you can shoot from the street. And the person that we bought the house from, they just left it there. And there was a peek out and I go, who's out there shooting baskets on my basketball hoop? There's a little girl out there, a sixth grader. And I went out and she goes, hey, I'm sorry, is it okay if I shoot baskets? And I go, I'd join you if I had more time. You bet. She goes, I live right across the street. I go, oh man, I haven't met them yet. I go, what's your name? My name is Haley. I go, what grade are you in? Sixth grade. And she said, I need to meet your parents. And she goes, I'll go get them right now. And I had to go somewhere. And she was all excited about introducing her parents. She goes, I have a brother too. And so my goal after getting back from Idaho and all that is to go over and meet the parents. And she was out there raking her yard the other day, and I go, man, that's a big yard. I need to get my rake out there and help them out and do that so I can meet them. I don't know anything about them. I don't know if they go to church or anything like that. But you know what? I want to be the best neighbor that I can be, and the best neighbor that maybe the neighbors have ever had as well. So how about us? How are we doing with that? Because if you're looking for a country to be able to minister and reconcile people to Christ with, we all have neighbors, I'm thinking. Now, some may live out in the country more, and labor is a little bit more sparse and far apart, but all of us have neighbors that we can connect to. Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. There is no commandment greater than these. And then, become a true friend to those who really need a friend. Become a true friend. That's my good buddy, Mike O'Neill. We were just at our conference together. He's a pastor in Yakima, Washington, at a large church there. We both went to college together. We both started in youth ministry about the same time. He was in Corvallis. I was in Lebanon. Now, when we were in college together, we ran in different circles. He ran with the cool people. I ran with the nerds. Except for Kathy. She's going, okay. Thank you, she says. And I thought, you know what? This guy kind of looks like a jerk. And he probably thought, this guy looks like an idiot. But all of a sudden, we're together ministering. We're in a camp in 1988. I remember it. And we're at a superhero camp. I have a picture of it. He was Superman, and I was Spider-Man. We had these outfits on, and we were working that camp. And we just hit it off. We really did. And we started developing a relationship. We started doing things together. We started hanging out together. We did lunch together. And pretty soon, it was like we're just all the time on the phone. And back then, we didn't have cell phones. Nowadays, we're so far apart, but every single morning, almost every morning, we text each other first thing in the morning. How you doing? How's it going? He said this morning, he sent me a text. I'm praying for you today. How you doing? We're a little bit tired coming off a weekend trip to Idaho. And I said, I'm praying for you. And he goes, thanks. This is the type of friendship we have. We have a great time when we're together, catching up. We don't get to see each other very often. He's a true friend. And here's really what a true friend is. We'll listen and sympathize when you share bad news. I have a lot of bad news to share sometimes, but I don't share it with everyone because I realize that some people don't necessarily care about my issues and my problems. Thankfully, we have a church where we have people that really care about one another. So grateful for that. But out in the world, you may find that people really don't care what you're going through, and they may not even listen. And I've encountered those types of people before. I remember even being at a pastor's conference once where I started to share with someone about what we were going through in a particular church, and all of a sudden he just turned and walked away. And I'm just going, oh man, it made me feel horrible. So finding friends that can sympathize us with and listen when we have bad news, we all have that. We need those people. I hope you have those people. We'll celebrate with you when you're gonna when something good is taking place. We'll celebrate with you when you share good news. Because a lot of times what people want to do is they want to top you with something else. Kathy and a lady named Doretta in Federal Way were at a ladies' retreat. And a bunch of ladies were over here just gabbing away. And Doretta and Kathy were over here and talking. And Doretta goes, just look at all of them. All they're doing is waiting for that person to be quiet so they can pipe in with their own story to top the next one. Because a lot of people just aren't willing to even listen. But a true friend is going to really celebrate with. If I come in and say, hey, we had an awesome weekend with a bunch of pastors and learning a bunch about preaching and God was there and it was awesome, and you're going to go, man, that's great. I'm so happy for you. That's so good. That's so awesome. That's the type of friends we need. The teens are smiling over here because I shared this is the Wednesday lesson. So they're just shutting everything down and say, oh, you've heard this before. Want the best for the best part of you. That's what a true friend does. So they want to see you succeed in life. And they want to see what they can do to help you to do that. That's what my good friends do. They're there to help me to succeed. Sometimes they'll tell me things that I need to hear that'll help me to get on track again. They'll be there to encourage me, but they want the best for the best part of me. And then they want to help me to grow as a better person. The fellow that talked about all this, his name is Dr. Jordan Peterson. He's a professor at the University of Toronto, and he has a lot of good things to say on YouTube, but this is just right on. This is actually very godly, and the things that God would have us to do in a friend. So Do you have that type of friend? But the better question is this: are you that type of friend? Are you the type of friend that can be all of these to someone else? You know what? There's a real shortage of friends out there in this world, and you may know that. So how about if I'm going to be that friend to someone else? Because I got to tell you, if we need it, other folks need that as well. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in the same way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We are told to be there for other people and encourage them. And sometimes it takes time and effort, but you know what? Those things are important. It's important to be able to go and pray with the Dennises of the world that may not know much about God, but they're looking for someone like us who'll come in and care for them in a time of real desperate need, to be there for them, to encourage them, to pray with them. So when you're developing friendships and you're doing all those types of things, you know what? Our purpose is reconciling other people to Christ, to point them to Jesus Christ by what we do. And we don't just do it because we're trying to lead them to Christ. We want to make true friends. One last little story. It was years ago. I was at the dorm directing, and we had a leadership conference with all the different RDs, the resident directors, the resident assistants, all the leadership. We were all there. We were having some diversity training, and we had a variety of different people to talk about their experiences with Christians. And I just remember one of the people there. She was a Muslim gal. Somehow she got connected to go to Northwest Nazarene University. It's a Christian school, and she's a Muslim there. But she liked this particular degree that she was working on. They had it there, and she wanted to do that, and so that's where she was. And so she was sharing from her perspective. I don't remember what anyone else said, but this really stuck with me. She said, you know, I was in a class, and the professor gave a devotional in the morning. That's what they do every morning. I'm okay with that. But they said this. They said, we need to, as Christians, go out and make friends so that we can lead them to Christ. He said, you know what I heard? He said, the only reason you're going to become a friend of mine is so that you can convert me to your religion. And that really stuck in my head, my heart. Because there's been times where maybe that was my goal and purpose, just to, you know, maybe lead someone to Christ, and then I'm going to go to the next person and the next person. But you know what? God wants us to be true friends. And so if Dennis never really connected to God in any way or shape or form, I still wanted to be his friend, regardless of what took place. My goal is that he would come to Christ, and that's my goal for every person that I come in contact with at some point. But ultimately, I need to be a true friend first. Because sometimes people can see right through the facade that we may have. And I don't want to do that. I want to be a true friend to people. So, I've added a little extra today. It's real simple. There's a bonus point here. There's 3 points to it. What we can do to make a difference. We can invite. And we can invite. And we can invite. As I'm out there, as I'm an ambassador in my country, wherever it would be, I want to just continue to invite people to be a part of what we're doing, to be a part of my life, to be a part of the body of Christ that we have here. And we have a good body of Christ, folks. And I don't want to keep it to myself. I want to share it with other people. And one of the things we're going to do as a church, we're going to have activities and things that we've done in the past. We're going to continue to do those fellowship types of things. How about if we have another lunch invasion that you just tell someone, hey, we're going to lunch with our church afterward, and don't even necessarily have to invite them to church, just invite them to lunch invasion so they can be a part of our group and start to meet people and see that, you know what, we're not a bunch of weirdos out here. We actually are normal folks who just love Jesus, and we love people as well. The summer, I know we've had barbecues and stuff in the past. We want to have more of those so we can invite people. I want to start a young adult fellowship where we just have fellowship together and we do games and have parties and get-togethers where young adults can invite other young adults to that so that we can have an opportunity to show them who we are again and then maybe invite them eventually to come where we're at here in the body of Christ. So, what's the next step? Find your country and become an ambassador of and for Christ for the purpose of reconciliation. What does that mean? It just means when I'm going out there, wherever I'm at, I'm going to be intentional about being Jesus Christ ambassador. I'm going to ask our music team to come up at this time. While they're coming, here's a couple more little ideas. How can I continue to connect with people and meet? If you go to a restaurant, always try to sit in the same spot where you have the same waiter or waitress to come. When you're at Ray's or you're at the Dollar General, I know there's different people who actually are the cashiers at times, but go to the same one as often as you can and get to know that person by name. They usually have name tags, and then introduce yourself. Hey, my name is Mark. I'm the new pastor here in town. I'm going to use that for another couple years because it's always good. But anytime I'm at the gas station, get to know that person. Get to know the people wherever we're at. And then when the opportunity comes, they get to know us more, and they get to know us more. They're going to ask us for the encouragement and help that we need when they're having difficult times, and we can invite them. You know what? Our country is pretty big here, and we have many opportunities to do what we do for Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we close with this song. Thank you that you are more than all we need, Lord. And God, we definitely need your help. And so, Lord, we also know that nothing is impossible with you. And so, as we become your ambassadors or continue, Lord, to be better at reconciling those that need Jesus Christ to you, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just continue to help us to be mindful of what you're doing. And Lord, just go before us. May you continue to bless us and give us favor among the people, Lord, that we are to reach for the good news with the good news of Jesus Christ for you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.